There's never a good time to get evicted or to be low on cash, but when that happens late in life to a senior citizen, it can be enough to push a person into homelessness. It's become a major problem in Western Washington, where housing costs have spiked, and many older people are finding it hard to adapt. Sound Effects' Jennifer Wing spent some time with a social worker who is working to keep her elderly clients from being homeless for the first time in their lives.
A man with salt-and-pepper hair and a clean-shaven face shuffles into an office inside the Wallingford Senior Center in North Seattle. His name is Terry Parkhurst. He's 69 years old, and he's here to get help and support from a social worker named Denise Malm.
What we should probably focus on today, Terry, is housing.
Housing.
Okay. Right? And so, have you heard anything from Four Freedoms?
No, I haven't. I called.
Four Freedoms is an apartment building for seniors that has some low-income units.
And then also, with the Seattle Housing Authority, are you calling each month to maintain your spot on the waiting list?
Yes.
Great.
Terry's current housing situation is precarious at best. He's been in the same apartment near Northgate for the last 13 years. When he first moved in, he was working as a writer. His area of interest is the auto industry. Terry's work has been published in trade magazines and even the New York Times. But over the last few years, he hasn't been able to work because of his health.
There are times literally getting out of bed is difficult.
Terry has symptoms of Parkinson's, a slight tremor, a slow walk, slow to speech, but he hasn't been officially diagnosed. Every last cent that comes into his bank account goes to paying the rent for his one-bedroom apartment, which has steadily increased over the years. Every month he runs a deficit. He dips into his savings to cover the gaps, and he has a SNAP card for food. Terry knows that his situation is not sustainable.
I'd be dishonest if I didn't say I'm somewhat anxious and living with fear. When I write that rent check now every month, I'm just amazed I'm writing a check for that amount of money. And if I had to move, like, next month, I don't know where I'd go.
Yeah, the whole idea of possibly being homeless at this stage in your life, has that been a thought that has entered your mind?
Yes, it has. It's given me some sense of empathy with the people that are homeless that I never had before. But it's mind-boggling to think about being homeless at this age in my life. I don't know that I'll make it, but I think I will.
A pile of paperwork is spread out on Denise Malm's desk. These are Terry's applications for low-income senior housing.
So this needs to be filled out. This paperwork can be daunting. Navigating it will blow your mind. I have a hard time. I cannot imagine an older adult trying to figure out all the resources and the different systems. I'll put together an envelope for you to keep the stuff in so you can keep it all in one place.
At the end of his meeting with Denise, Terry asks her a question.
How typical do you feel that my experience with these matters are?
Oh, Terry, this is so much of what I'm doing now. It wasn't like this probably about 3 years ago, but it is now. So it's very typical, so I want you to know you're not alone.
Okay.
Over the last 10 years, the median price of a home in the Seattle area has nearly doubled. Terry is part of a subset of aging baby boomers who up until now have been supporting themselves and living independently. But as costs have crept up, people like Terry are finding that it's harder and harder to make the rent. They're facing the reality of being without a place to live for the first time in their lives. Officials with Seattle's Office of Housing say that Terry's situation is a problem that the city understands and is trying to work on. Denise says that other social workers at senior centers in Seattle are seeing cases similar to Terry's.
And the story is, Jennifer, it's, you know, my rent's going up so much money. I have an income of $900, and I can't afford to live here anymore, and I need low-income housing tomorrow. And what we know is low-income housing right now, the wait list can be anywhere from 1 year to 5-6 years. And so when you're 80 years old and you need low-income housing tomorrow, and it's just not going to happen.
So when you have those requests, how can you help that person? What happens when that person walks through your door?
Well, one of the first questions I ask is, do you have a car? Because I know that shelter and housing is tough to find, and it's sometimes easier to find a place to park your car and sleep. But again, if you have physical issues, that's not ideal either.
Asking her clients if they have a car to sleep in is sometimes the only helpful advice that Denise has to offer.
So sometimes it's just witnessing their pain, their vulnerability.
Another client Denise is trying to help out is Bob. We're not using his last name because he's still working and he doesn't want his clients or the state to know about his situation. Bob is 80 years old. He's been without stable housing since February. He was evicted from his apartment after he got behind on the rent. He was there when a man came and changed the locks on his door.
I had the clothes on my back and it was cold, it was very cold. And I wasn't wearing a coat. He says, too bad. And I could look in the door and I could see a couple of coats. I could see work shirts. I could see, I said, let me get just a few things. He says, nope.
I meet Bob in his office. He's behind on the rent here. Like Terry, Bob's income wasn't keeping up with his expenses. Today, Bob spends his Social Security check on a motel room on Highway 99. He says the place is shabby, but clean enough. Every morning, he gets a free muffin for breakfast. A cheap Asian restaurant is where he eats his dinner. On the day we meet, he's run out of money.
I may maybe have two nights left, and then who knows where I'll be. I take full responsibility for some of this. If I had been quicker thinking on my feet, and I'm just not geared that way, and there's a certain amount of adultness that where you have to be.
Terry Parkhurst and Bob have some things in common. Both of them don't have any children, they don't have partners, and they have no close living relatives. They are pretty much alone and are relying on people like Denise to help them navigate a complicated social services system.
Yeah, they're scared. They're so scared. And keep in mind that this generation has kind of grown up with the, pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
I've been self-supporting since I was 6 years old.
I'm going to pay into Social Security and Medicare, and I'm going to be taken care of. And it's just not the reality.
I can already feel my health deteriorating from eating, breakfast muffins instead of a decent breakfast. And just the worry of it all.
A few months pass. Terry's situation is more urgent. His apartment building is being sold. Right now, he is in the very uncomfortable position of packing up his belongings without knowing where he's going to end up. Bob is still hanging in there. He's been sneaking into his office at night to sleep. He says if he gets caught, he'll get kicked out. Then he sends me some good news in an email. Bob says he was able to prove to the Veterans Administration that he served in Vietnam. He says this might make him eligible for more help. He knows that he'll never be able to afford a market-rate one-bedroom apartment in Seattle again, nothing like his last place. But for now, he's trying to stay optimistic that pretty soon he'll find housing that is something other than a motel room, his car, or a couch in an office.
That story from Sound Effects, Jennifer Wynn.